Hi, I'm Ed Westwick. I played Chuck Bass on Gossip Girl.
Welcome back, listeners, to your one and only source into all things Gossip Girl. You know you'll love it. XOXO. What is up, everybody? I'm Jessica Zor, and welcome to another episode of XOXO. Today's guest is a legend, as they say in England. You may know him for his suits, his confidence, or his relationship with the Queen Bee. But I know him mostly as an amazing actor and an even better friend. That's right. The wonderful Ed Westwick is joining me on the podcast today. Gossip Girl wouldn't be Gossip Girl without Chuck Bass or Ed Westwick. The tone of his voice, his walk, his style. I mean, who else could pull off those scarves? We're going to hear Ed's side of his crazy casting story, what it was like rooming with Chase, and the moment he realized the show was going to be a big hit. And you know, I wouldn't let Ed get away without those three words, Chuck and Blair. So here he is, Ed Westwick. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. For a second there, I thought you weren't going to
pop on.
Yeah. And then I thought I was just going to be talking to myself, which happens quite a lot. So it's all right, you know?
How you doing? So you're in London?
I'm in London and I nearly missed this amazing podcast because I was taking a nap.
Okay, wait. So you have a little baby too now?
Yeah. Yeah, mine's
not. It's a lot of work and you don't get some sleep a lot of the nights.
Well, he's absolutely fine, but he just had to have a procedure. But so he's just been recovering from that. But no, he's an absolute darling. He's wonderful. But
French bulldogs are my absolute favorite dog, and they're just
Coda? Coda.
Yeah.
He's a French bulldog, right?
Yeah. They just like have their own little personality.
They do. I can hear your mom's voice and you in my head right now saying his name. No, they're really fantastic. They really are. I mean, he's I don't know. It's one of those things, you know, maybe it's an interesting kind of maybe appropriate kind of fantastic amount of responsibility right now without doing, you know, the full thing, which is what you've recently done.
Yes.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
I've already said that to you, but congratulations again. It's so, so, so cool and exciting.
It is. It's a life-changing, amazing thing that I can't even really put into words, but, I do. If I were to get another dog, it would be a French bulldog. But I think I'll take a beat on that.
Yeah, steady on.
Yeah.
Steady on.
But you know what else with French bulldogs? They're like stubborn. Is yours stubborn?
Oh my God. He's so stubborn. He's so stubborn. You know what? I think about 7 months, 8 months, that stubbornness really started to show. And then, I don't know, man. I don't know whether I've adjusted to it or
yeah,
whether
you just have to. Down. They're not really changing.
Yeah, but you know, I bring out the daddy voice. I bring out the slightly deeper voice. You know, hey, come
out. Let him know who's boss.
I mean, I don't know if I'm boss, but I'm certainly trying.
Okay, and his name is Humphrey.
His name is Humphrey, and I think this is the perfect place to set the record straight. Not that I have to explain myself or anything like that, but it is completely unrelated to Gossip Girl. A lot of people, when they hear the name of the dog, they think, oh my God. And you know what? It's funny. When we named him, I didn't think about that at all. Did not click.
Well, I also feel like it's been so long and we're all kind of removed from the show and onto another chapter in our life. So I do feel like I get that. You're just like, no, it actually has nothing to do with that. But thanks. But
I mean,
that's funny.
I mean, yeah, it is. No, he was named after Humphrey Bogart. I was watching
That's Casablanca. Very appropriate for you, I feel like.
Why? Because I'm a skinny old man from the Bronx who smokes a lot of cigarettes.
No, because that's just, you're like an artist, and that's just very, to me, I would say that's why you named your dog Humphrey, but.
I was in a taxi the other day with some people. And maybe I don't know if it's showing my age, but I don't know, showing my age. I mean, he's a classic movie star, but it surprised me that the thing it was about to say, the people in the car who were in their mid-20s did not know who Humphrey Bogart was. And I, maybe that's common. The people, I don't know. I'm always shocked when I know something and then apparently people don't know it and apparently it's not common knowledge.
Right.
It's not like I look down on people, but it's always just like I'm like, wow, doesn't it always shock you when you think of a piece of information that you think's like common knowledge and then apparently it's not?
100%. You know? I remember that song with Rihanna, Kanye West, and Paul McCartney came out and it went all over the internet. People are like, who's the old white dude with Kanye? I'm like, wait, hold on.
Up, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then, yeah, I kind of thought, I'm like, wait, am I getting that old? But like people should still know who Paul McCartney is. But I mean, yeah, that's wild.
And then it kind of takes you down like a whole avenue in your mind of like, you know, the state of humanity or like the state of people. And you're like, I'm worried for the population of today if they don't know who Humphrey Bogart is or if they don't know who Paul McCartney
is. Correct, correct.
Or maybe it doesn't matter.
Maybe it doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
But you and should know who Paul McCartney is. Hey.
So that's good. That's, I mean, look, we're letting people know what's up.
Yeah,
so
actually, speaking of legendary, amazing people. I was like,
is Paul McCartney joining us today?
I wish.
Jay, come on.
I was going through like just the list of people that you've worked with, and it's so impressive. From Jude Law to Robin Wright, Julianne Moore, you were cast by the legendary director Clint Eastwood, worked with Leonardo DiCaprio, Damian Lewis, Paul Giamatti, Minnie Driver, David Duchovny, Jessica Zohr. I mean, how is it to work with people like that, actors like that, artists like that?
Well, I mean, look, we've both been in the game a long time now, and you know, you've worked with amazing people as well. I mean, we've both been very, very lucky in our careers our lives. I think it's, look, these people are icons, are legends, but are great people as well. And I think that's the most important thing. You know, I've been very fortunate to not kind of come across a great amount of I don't know if I'll swear on this, so I won't. But
arrogant divas-ish?
Yeah, I mean, we know a couple, and we know we do. But it's been amazing. Look, and I've always kind of, that set the tone for me. On my first job, I was working with an Oscar-winning director, Oscar nominees. You know, you mentioned some of them there, Jude and Robin. And it's like, yeah, from the get-go, when it was my first job and I was a kid and I had no clue what I was doing and I didn't know where I was. And I was on this amazing film set. It was Breaking and Entering. And I was just like, oh, okay. But it set a tone for me in terms of professionalism and way to work and quality of work. And it's a real awakening because you're not always going to be working at that level, you know?
Right, right, for sure. But what a way to start off.
Yeah, and it's something to aspire to. And I feel blessed to have had those experiences.
Well, and I know you as an actor, I know you always bring something special and amazing. And people, even on that list, I've had conversations with some people on that list about how amazing you are and what you bring to set and bring to your roles and stuff.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, that the people that I've had conversations with speak volumes of you too. So that's awesome.
I hope so. Yeah, that's nice.
And that,
thank you.
Actually, speaking of, I have a clip from David Rappaport about you and how the producers would not see any other tapes for Chuck Bass when your visa wasn't coming through and they needed someone for the role. Can we actually play that clip from David Rappaport?
So Ed, coming from London, didn't have a visa to work in the States. And his visa did not come through until I think either the day before or the day of his first day of filming on set. And so the studio said to us, understandably, we need to look for a backup or recast this role because if the visa does not come through in time, you cannot shoot him.
Yo, that's like visa stuff is a very serious thing and I get that. But let's be honest. No one else was going to play Chuck Bass like Ed Westwick did.
No, there was no way. And Josh and Stephanie would, to their credit, would not even look at other tapes that I was sending them. And I would say to them, you guys, like, my job is on the line. We have to recast this role because if he's not on, like, we are not legally allowed to use him. And they would not watch the tapes. And the studio and network are checking in with me saying, like, who do we have? Who are we going to test? And I was like, I don't have anyone. Like, they won't respond to
me.
And luckily, they stuck it through. And Ed's visa came through and he was available. And I mean, I could not imagine anyone in that role.
No.
Besides,
I don't think anyone who liked the show, watched the show, is a fan of the show. I think they'd all agree with us. Can you tell me what was going through your mind? Did you know that this was like going to be a big show and you really wanted to go to New York and do this? Like, what was going through your mind?
I'll tell you what's going through my mind right now is that David Rappaport needs to be so encouraging about some of the new tapes I send him and he needs to give me some more jobs and know that the damn visa is ready to roll right now.
I'll let him know. I'll send him this clip.
You send this clip from Ed Westwick on visas and right now. Look, love David. And look, I mean, super grateful and obviously super lucky that that situation transpired in the way it did. So here's what happened. Chuck Bass was supposed to be a recurring role. It was only supposed to come in for a few episodes. So So that was actually, I kind of got around one of the testing aspects there because I didn't have to test like a series regular. So I did like two auditions and then I did a screen test, but I never had to test for network. Wow. Which, as you know.
Yeah.
So I kind of.
It's also very stressful and nerve wracking and all the things.
Yeah. So I didn't have to do it there. So that was good. But so the situation was. Yes, didn't have a visa, which obviously you have to work in the States. And then I had to go to Canada to get my visa done, an emergency like situation. I was with this lawyer in Canada. I'd never been to Toronto before. I just met this lawyer randomly. I was 19. I was like, what is going on? Met this guy in a long coat in the winter. And he said, come with me. Walk me to the front of this line at the embassy or consulate in Toronto.
But at this point, you're just trying to get the visa to go, or is the job yours, or are they wanting you to get the visa so you meet them?
The job's mine as long as everything goes right and I can get to work within a few hours,
right.
Which is like the next morning.
And this is for the pilot, obviously.
This is for the pilot, but I have to, in order to initiate the visa, you have to leave the country and enter. So I had to go to Canada to get it done and then fly back, and then I was starting work that next morning.
Wow.
Luckily, you know, it all went through the people at the embassy or whatever. Because, you know, like government agencies can take their time to like get paperwork done. But hey, this lawyer knew what he was doing. He was one of those slick guys who like knew everyone at the embassy.
Right,
he was
right.
Like, hey, how you doing? Bah, hey. I was like, cruise to the front of the line. And I had no experience. And so I got the visa and we started working. And that was it, you know.
And so whatever happened with, at this point, you knew that Chuck was going to have an American accent, because I know there was a conversation about maybe keeping your accent.
No, that was never really a thing.
It
was like I auditioned because when I auditioned for Chase's part as well, right?
But for Nate?
I mean, I was just kind of, yeah, but it was like super early on. It was like I walked in and they said audition for both. And then it was obvious they liked me more for the Chuck role. And it was just, it was a much more interesting role, you know?
Right, right.
I was having much more fun with it. I think I had more of a character for it. That was the part that resonated. So they were like, okay, just stick with the Chuck thing. And then they just wanted to hear it in an English accent. And you can't just, this is the thing that people don't get, is you can't just make a character. You can't just switch their accent. And a lot of people, I've had this before where people will say, oh my God, do it in an English accent. And it's like... Part of me just does this. Ugh.
Right, right.
Because like, if a character's written to be American, and if there's comedy's a big thing.
Right, right.
Everything sounds so different as soon as it's done in an English accent. The timing, the intonation, everything like that. The whole performance changes, the whole character changes. And there was an argument that, you know, you could have pulled it off as an English accent, but this character didn't need that. You know, he didn't need that added thing. This character, he had enough layers.
Yeah.
And he was... You know, he was the arrogant New York type guy. So
yeah. Do you remember how many times we would all be like out and about or doing something in New York, and people like these trust fund kids, whether they were older than us or around Chuck's age at the time, and they would be like, you know, Chuck's written about me, and I'd be like, that's not true though.
I still get it. I mean, it happened often. It happens now. I mean, I've got. People who were like, either they were like, oh, this is based on me, or people just were like, hey, I based my whole life on that character. I was like, wow, you need some different heroes, seriously. But
Chuck had a big heart, though.
I mean, it was a hell of a character, you know, and I think one of the things that we got out of doing so many episodes with such an amount of storyline is you really get to go to different places with the character and really see an evolution in the character. And I think, you know, you really got that with Chuck Bass. And for me, it was just like this, it wasn't like just an education, but it really wasn't for an actor, you know. I mean, I got to do everything with this character, go to all different emotions, try all different things. And so it was really this epic It was. Journey. It was epic. Yeah. It was an epic journey. Exactly.
Obviously, you worked with Leighton so much, Blair, and I always say that Chuck and Blair were kind of like our Ross and Rachel. Like, you wanted them, you fought for them, you rooted for them. And I was just rewatching some of the episodes, and I didn't even realize where the moment was where you guys kind of like hooked up and started. I thought it was later on, but it's been so many years. Can you guys play clip 3, please?
There's a big ass moment in the show.
Thanks for the lift home.
You were amazing out there.
I don't want this moment.
Oh my God. I never really remembered where this spark started and happened. And this is super, super major right now. I mean, they're like our Rachel and Ross. You know what I mean? I already love this and I don't even remember what happens.
So it was episode 7 in the first season, which I thought for some reason it was later.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? It was that early on.
It was
that early on.
Oh my.
But here's the thing. So you guys are in the back of the limo. You guys hook up.
I remember the episode.
She loses her virginity to you, not Nate, which is like another thing I didn't even realize. Yeah, and that was like.
I don't remember any of this. Seriously.
Isn't that wild? And so, I was like, whoa, this is kind of where little things were dropped for us to be like, start taking this ride with you guys. But can you explain how you felt about that relationship, Blair and Chuck, and just how working with Leighton was? Because she was always fun and great to work with and spontaneous and awesome. And you guys really had a chemistry for those characters from jump, because I also asked David about it, and they didn't, from the pilot, Serena and Dan were the original kind of relationship that started from jump. So I kind of think that when you guys had the chemistry you did, I think that kind of woke a lot of people up to be like, oh, we're going to explore this. But all of a sudden that happened. And then you guys really throughout the whole series were on a roller coaster, and we just wanted to be with you guys sitting next to you the whole time.
I think I heard that as well. You know, like the writers kind of watched stuff and kind of got feedback from what was going on set as well in terms of what chemistry was there. And they elaborated, and it's hard, you know. I've never really seen a lot of the episodes. You know, I've seen little bits and pieces. So I'm one day maybe I'll watch them all. I'd like to probably at some point. I think it'd be funny.
Yeah, I actually think a lot of us haven't, because a lot of people that have already come on and done their episodes are like, I don't know this, I don't remember that, and I'm like, I know we all got together for a couple months maybe and watched at Stephanie's in the very beginning,
early on. Yeah.
But I feel like after a couple months then we started filming again, so people would be on set.
It was too hectic.
Yeah,
too hectic.
And then you're in the middle of it. You know, we're going to run home on Monday at 7 o'clock at night and try. You know, it was.
I mean, that would just be very weird, wouldn't it? You know, you're just trying to get home so you can watch yourself.
It's weird,
I think I had an amazing time working with Leighton, and people really, really were taken with that relationship. It means so much to people, which is so cute and funny, and especially, as you say, because I'm slightly disconnected, not because I never saw it.
Right,
you know,
right.
Something like that. I'm like, I'm part of something that's so important to someone, but I'm not really part of it, you know? So
even though you are it.
Even though apparently I'm it. But she's an incredible talent. I miss her dearly.
Aww.
And we just had this great chemistry, and we used to make each other laugh, and I felt protective over her at times. And she probably made me better.
Just the way you guys played off each other, and then both of your styles as Blair and Chuck were so epic. And then, right before action and getting into character, you guys did have a cool vibe. And that, I think that's what bleeds into when you watch the show. It just wasn't, you guys are both incredible actors, that we know. But it was all of it. I think you guys both respected each other very, very much. And that bled into playing off of each other for so many years. And I just think it's really cool. When I went back and watched Ed, I'm being honest, because I didn't really see a lot of the show either. There was times I teared up. There's times I was like, oh my God, you guys really, it was special. It was really, really cute.
It felt special. And it felt, I didn't have to fake that too much. You know, I'm not saying I was in love with Leighton or whatever, but like it wasn't, it didn't feel like
forced. You just were doing it.
No, man. I mean, look, she's a beautiful girl. She was an incredible actress. She found a vulnerability with that character that made it very easy to work with, and made it very easy for me, my character, to fall in love with.
So you had a lot of fun working with her.
Give me one second. Yeah. Give me one second. Mum, can you please take Humphrey away? Mum.
I can't believe he was that good sitting in there the whole time, though.
No, no, no. He just came running in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, give your mom a big hug.
Mum just sends a big hug to you. She sends one back.
Can we talk about just some of the places that we filmed? Empire State Building. You guys go to Paris, all over New York City. Like, we were talking about this on another episode. Everyone was such a fan and wanted to be such a part of the show in the city that, like, it didn't matter what concert, what restaurant, what venue. They were just like, you guys come whenever you want, because I think they all wanted to either, you know, be on the show or have their place on it. And when I look back, that's pretty crazy. Like, even, like, the Met stairs, that's pretty cool to be a part of, don't you think?
I think it's amazing. I don't know if you remember, but there's Gossip Girl Day. Were you there that day when Mike Bloomberg, he was mayor, he came down and he crowned it Gossip Girl Day? And I've got the declaration. There's like,
oh my God, I know that happened. I wasn't there though.
Yeah, there's a official Gossip Girl Day. So, like, I mean, what? You know, it's like nuts.
And you know, there's like a tour of like.
Oh yeah. There's tours. There's. Yeah, all of that. I mean, it's nuts. We were, I don't know, but part of New York, sounds weird, but like part of New York culture, you know?
Yeah. A piece of it for sure.
My mum's hilarious. She's trying to get in on the podcast now. She's like, she's like shouting answers. She's like, legend, you're a legend. She's like in the kitchen. Just make the dinner. No, I'm joking.
Meatballs. Meatloaf.
We want meatloaf. Mom, where's the meatloaf? Anyway, you're right. Look, it was nuts, and I don't know.
When did you know, or what happened when you were like, oh, this is a special show and this is a hit? Because
when I was allowed to drink underage in New York City. No, which was the truth. But I mean, look, you know where we used to live in Chelsea? There was that big billboard up. I mean, that was early on.
Early. I remember that. We were walking underneath it, and I remember being like, whoa. Yeah. Was it you and Chase and Blake? I can't remember who it was, but it was the biggest billboard I've ever seen.
That, and it was right outside, and we were like, whoa. So it was that, and there was the buses. But that was really – I don't know if that was necessarily when I knew it was a hit. I think it was when – I mean, it was a bunch of stuff. It was whenever we started having to have security guards or whether there were crowds.
Right.
It was nuts.
I'll never forget. I think I might have had a couple episodes off, went back to LA, and I came back, and a few of us had found a little pub that we would go and have drinks in our little area after work or every once in a while, whatever. And it was like our little safe.
Lacey sent me a picture of that. a couple days ago.
So did Ethan, like last week.
Yeah, and
Chase.
I thought it was closed. It looked shut down, and I was like,
No! Oh, no!
And he was like, dude, it's 11 a.m. I went, should be open. Yeah.
But I remember coming back and walking in to meet you guys, and there was like 40 girls with like short skirts and heels, and I was like, this is like a little pub that no one knew about, and I had remember hearing that there was these promoters that would take all these girls to the meatpacking district to go out to the clubs. And they found out that the hot gossip girl guys were hanging out at this little pub. So they would come in there. I mean, the way the girls were with you guys was, I mean, sometimes we couldn't get through a scene because they were screaming. They were showing up in short skirts in the middle of winter at a pub just to be in the same room as you guys, which is like wild.
Oh, no, you know what? Shout out to the West Side Tavern. You know, we love you.
That's true. We love you so much.
But it was, there wasn't really anything going on. And then all of a sudden it was the most popping bar to be at on like a Friday, on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
On a Tuesday.
On a
Well, it depended. It was depending on when we, because our schedules were all over. Some days I had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off. Do you know what I mean? So my weekend sometimes started on a Tuesday. You know what I mean?
Are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to admit that you were at the West Side Tavern Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
No.
Don't tell them.
But that is like things like that were happening. And then I remember we would be at events and like Keith Richards' daughters wanted to meet you guys and Sylvester Stallone. Like I remember we'd be in rooms and I'd be like, why is Sylvester Stallone walking over? And he'd be like, my daughters are fans.
It was nuts. I mean, I was just actually at the Stones gig in LA a couple of weeks back. And, you know, I mean, that's a relationship that I've had since, for years. And I mean, look, all of this stuff, all of these crazy opportunities, all these people I've met, all of this mad stuff, this all happened, you know, because I went to LA and I auditioned to be on an American TV show and I got the job and, you know what, I mean, and it changed my life and people loved it. You know, I mean, it's just nuts, you know.
It's nuts, nuts. And then what season did you and Chase decide to be roommates? It was also funny that we all lived within a couple blocks of each other.
And then how weird is it that your next door neighbor was Alex Paul of the Chainsmokers and then went on to become a superstar?
Yes. I'll never forget. He was like working at the art gallery behind our building. Remember that?
Yeah, exactly.
And DJing, making like real little money just to get by and keep doing what he loved. And now he has residencies, is one of the biggest DJs, or they are. It's crazy. And I still talk to him. He's like such a lovely person, like hasn't changed one bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts. Chase and I agreed to live together on the pilot. He was like, do you want a room together? I'd never lived outside my parents' house. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I went back to the UK and he went and looked for some places and he sent me like the strangest photos. It was like the corner of a ceiling or like a bit of a floor. And I was like, yeah, sure.
Sure, why not?
Whatever, dude. I don't really know what's going on. It's fine, whatever. And so we lived together the first 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that roof deck was, we loved the barbecues up there, hey?
Yo.
I kind of want to go back there next summer.
Oh my God, you know what you're doing right now? You're just like, we should rent a place in the tape.
We should.
Oh my God, that would be so sick. I, like, it's one of those things, you know, it was strange because when we finished the show, I was so ready to kind of move on and so ready for a change of scenery. But like in the last couple of years, I've really been reflecting on what that was and our time there and this whole thing. And man, I just can't believe that I did that with my life, you know, at such a young age. Like, Jay, we had like the most amazing time. And
And then we got to travel the world to promote the show. And you got, you know, you were living with someone you worked with who was one of your dear friends and roommates. And, you know, whether it was a concert or an art show or a play or shopping or walking in Central Park, like we were just like living it up and taking in New York. And I really think everyone was very appreciative of everything. I don't think anyone.
No, it was a good group of people. I think we were all very lucky. I think we realized we were lucky and we realized how amazing this ride was. And I mean, goddamn. I mean, it's just, it's nice. That's why it's so good to chat to you now, because I don't often get to talk to any of the gang.
Right. Well, because a lot of us, we're all like doing our things and living our lives.
Yeah, but it's nice. It's nice to reminisce, man. To reminisce with you, you know, because otherwise you're like talking about other people in your life and like they just don't get it. You know, so many people went through things. They're like, you know, like people dated each other. People lost each other. Like there were people, the dogs died. Like for life, we all lived it together. It was like,
yeah,
was
Kelly had a baby. Like there was lots going on. How sweet is Kelly?
I love that girl. I love that girl so much.
She's wonderful. I'm going to play a couple quotes and I want to see if you can tell me which character said it.
Okay.
You know it's love when you start talking like an assassin.
I'm going to go with Lane.
You know it's love when you start talking like an assassin.
Oh, was that me that said it?
No, it was Nate.
No, is that Chase? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A man is a good thing to come home for, but an even better thing to come home with.
Ooh, I feel like any character could say that. I'm gonna go Lily Vanderwoodson.
A man is a good thing to come home for, but an even better thing to come home with.
It was Kristen and Gossip Girl. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Every nerve ending in my body is electrified by hatred.
Chuck Bass.
Every nerve ending in my body is electrified by hatred.
Come on. Come on, this game's so hard, man. I feel like any character could say any of these lines, right?
Okay, here's the last one. People like me don't write books. They're written about.
That's Chuck Bass, baby. I remember that.
People like me don't write books. They're written about.
Yep.
Yep.
Have you watched the new one at all?
I haven't seen it. I just wish those, I think the most important thing, at least what I can say, is I hope those kids have a great time, and I hope they're being looked after, you know, because it's absolutely nuts, you know. The whole kind of like becoming famous overnight at 19 is a effing trip.
Absolutely. And it really did feel like people say things like that don't happen overnight. I really, even if we were acting for years before that, what happened with that show was it did feel like overnight. It felt like one day it aired and the next day we had, I remember getting a call and they were like, you guys need to get a publicist. And I remember looking at the prices for a publicist and I'm like, I'm not paying that much. And they're like, you have to have one. You remember that?
Yeah.
Because we were doing the cover of New York Magazine, I think.
Oh my God.
And you and I were the only two without publicists. Everyone like had a whole team with them. And I'm like,
I still don't have a publicist. I ain't paying that money.
It's expensive.
Yeah, but I get it. Yeah, I spoke to Stephanie about it and we were emailing a little while ago. And as I've always said in all of these interviews when asked about that, I love Josh and Stephanie. I wish them all the best. And for the kids who are doing it, go have fun. Be safe.
For sure.
Et cetera.
I've seen pictures and I'm like, wow, they really know how to cast a beautiful.
Yeah, they're better looking than us. They're all better looking than us.
Beautiful. And then can we just talk about how when you started a TikTok, it basically exploded? It's you as Chuck Bass?
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, I was looking for a way to launch it. And that kind of was one of the trends that was going on. And I did that. And yeah, it blew up pretty quick.
But how weird is this? When we were doing the show, there wasn't TikTok, Instagram. There wasn't even cell phones with like cameras, really. I mean, there was, but the quality wasn't great. And we basically carried a show for so many years about a gossip blog when, like now, if you ask, you could ask a little girl, what do you want to be? She could say, I want to be a blogger. Yeah. When we were doing the show, that wasn't a thing yet. You know what I'm saying? It was a little bit ahead of its time. And I think that's why it's still relevant.
It was very much ahead of its time. We were kind of perhaps a cautionary tale as to the way the world was going to go and has gone.
Right. If we'd had a choice to go back to where it wasn't so many things, internet platforms, all the things, even for like a month, would you take it? Or do you like all this stuff?
100,000,000%.
Me too. You know? I said the other day, I would go back that way and live life if we could.
Oh my God. My sister
was like, you have to write down the directions to get to someone's house. You have to call. I said, yeah, you got to remember numbers. You have to show up. You can't be flaky. I mean, people did that for years.
Isn't it funny though as well, you know, when you're kind of in your late teens or your early 20s or whatever it is, you're like, you don't really see the world changing that much. You don't think it's going to change. You think, oh, we've done it. Well, this is it.
Yeah.
And you also don't feel like you're ever going to be one of those people who come across sounding like an old person. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, in my day, it was different. But it's so damn true. It's so damn true. I'm like, oh, it's goddamn kids.
Well, because I'm sure when Bowie's older, there's probably going to be flying cars. Like, she's never going to know. I don't even know if they're going to teach her how to, like, if we'll teach her how to write. I mean, I will, because I think that's something everyone should know. But I'm serious. Because it's going to be all computers and stuff.
Yeah, I mean.
You know what I mean?
You really shouldn't admit to, you know, to tell the world that you're just going to be a negligent parent and not teach your kids how to write.
No, but I don't think in schools they'll do that. I think it's going to be teaching kids how to type. I don't even know if people are going to put like stamps and write a letter in the mail, if they'll even have that. I want them to. Yeah. I think Bowie should always do that.
Hey, you can always write me a letter.
You can be Bowie's pen pal.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be, it's not weird at all. No, it'll be nice.
It'll be like a handprint. We can wrap it up, but I just wanted one thing because we didn't touch on it is, fashion, because you always had a really, really sick style outside of Chuck Bass, even though I think his whole thing was so dope and so good. And that I know has to do with you and a lot with Eric Damon. But yeah. How good did he what he all did with each character? Don't you think he was just so amazing? God.
Eric crushed it.
Crushed.
He crushed it. He really did. I mean, I think, you know, it was funny when I saw people kind of dressing up as Chuck Bass for Halloween. Now, Halloween's kind of like a, you know, jokey thing, but it was still a sign that, or you just saw guys on the street kind of doing it, or stuff coming out in the stores, like there were little kind of trends, or that were very Chuck Bassy. So Eric's an amazing talent. And yeah, I mean, people still go to Gossip Girl for fashion tips, you know, people still checking it out. I mean, it is, and it does look, the fashion looks quite timeless.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I'll say. I mean, if you get rid of the flip phones, it could be right now.
Yeah, you could absolutely. And it's just like so funny, little things like the Chuck's scarf or Blair's headband. It's stuff that ended up being staples, which I like always am curious to know, like, was that thought of and in like on a board before the show? Because I know that there was inspiration, but there's certain staples like when I picture Chuck Bass. Even though, like, head to toe, he has like a phenomenal, that scarf is like a staple.
Yeah. Yeah. The scarf was. Cute. I mean, I remember it sold out. They've ever told me it sold out for the longest time.
I'm not shocked at all.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you get back. I know it's later there and you have a new dog. Mel did mention about Wolves of War, a movie you have coming out. Do you want to talk about that, or do you know when it's coming out yet? Or
No, I don't know when it's coming out. We shot in the UK. I got that done at the end of COVID, well, when COVID was finishing, things were opening up. World War II thriller, which is an era that I have always enjoyed, always been fascinated with. And it's the second film I've done that's in that era. I'm British in this. I'm one of the good guys. And I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but it was, okay. it was good. It was good fun to make. And, yeah, you know, if you're a guy or a girl or whatever you are, check it out.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. And do you like filming? Do you prefer to film there over the States?
It just depends on the project. Yeah, no, I haven't worked in the US in a while, so I'm looking forward to getting back. I'm supposed to be in New Orleans doing something in January, so
that's amazing. I love it down there.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Aw, well, we'll talk soon. It was really lovely to see you and reminisce. It brought back a lot of vibes and feelings, and you're awesome. It was lovely to hear your mom's voice, and I hope Humphrey's like feeling good and okay. That's a big change for a dog.
He's doing really like well. Crazy. He's doing really, really well.
Good.
I hope you get to meet him one day, and yeah. I look forward to seeing all of you guys. So, hey, thanks for having me. All right.
Oh my gosh, I just can't with that guy. He cracks me up. Ed, thank you for giving us Chuck Bass, man, and for joining me today on the podcast. And to the rest of you, come back next week for an all-new episode of XOXO with another original cast member. She's the absolute best. She's an amazing person, a beautiful mom. Her character really grounded the show in so many ways with her on-and-off-again relationship with Rufus and commitment to her kids, even if she wasn't perfect. As you maybe guessed, I'm bringing on Kelly Rutherford, also known as Lily Vanderwoodson. Bass? Humphrey? Who's to say? Regardless, I can't wait. And that's it for this week, you guys. Until next time, XOXO. XOXO is produced by Propagate Content and me, Jessica Zor. Our show is executive produced by Ling Lee. Our producers are Diego Tapia, Emily Carr, and Hannah Harris. Original music by Moxie and Loon, and the episode was mixed by Seth Olansky.